All right, so picture this. You're dealing with some legal issue with the company, but they're all the way across the country. You have to like pack your bags, get on a plane, and fly to their state just to file a lawsuit. Sounds kind of ridiculous, right? Well, believe it or not, that was pretty much the reality before this huge Supreme Court case, McGee versus International Life Insurance Company. Our deep dive today takes us back to 1957, and we're gonna look at how this like landmark decision totally changed our understanding of jurisdiction, especially in, a world that was rapidly changing.
Yeah, it's amazing how this case really shows the like tension between these traditional legal ideas and the changing world of business. Like back then, the idea of jurisdiction, like where you could sue someone, that was tied to like physical presence. And this was mostly because of a case called Pennoyer versus Neff, which basically said you needed to physically serve someone with a lawsuit in their home state. It made sense when businesses were mostly operating in their own communities.
Yeah,
Oh,
right. It
yeah.
was like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Businesses were expanding, operating across state lines.
Yeah.
But the legal system was still stuck in this like super localized mindset. Then we get International Shoe Company versus Washington. And that introduced this idea of minimum contacts. It recognized that companies were doing business outside their state borders and that they needed to be held accountable where they were actually operating.
Exactly. International Shoe was a super important step. But then McGee took it even further. Like it blew the doors wide open and expanded minimum contacts in a way that had these huge implications, especially for consumer protection.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics of McGee, because we're not just talking about abstract legal theories here. There's a real story at the heart of it all, and it starts with this guy, Lowell Franklin, a resident of California. He buys a life insurance policy back in 1944 from a company in Arizona called Empire Mutual Insurance Company.
And this is where it gets interesting. A few years later, this Texas company, International Life Insurance Company, comes into the picture. They take over Empire Mutual's insurance obligations. They even send a reinsurance certificate straight to Franklin in California, confirming this new arrangement. So the policies transfer, Franklin keeps sending his premium payments from California to Texas. Everything seems fine.
Until it's not. Franklin passes away in 1950, and his mother, Lulu B. McGee, who's the beneficiary of the policy, files a claim. And she's totally denied. International Life says that Franklin committed suicide, which, according to them, voided the policy.
Here's the problem, though. Neither Empire Mutual nor International Life had any physical presence in California. No offices, no agents, nothing. All their business was done through the mail. And this put Lulu B. McGee in a really tough spot. Could she really be forced to travel all the way to Texas to fight for these benefits that she thought she deserved?
And that's where things get even more complicated. California had what's called a long-arm statute. It's basically a legal tool that lets residents sue out-of-state companies in California courts, even if those companies don't have a physical office in the state. So McGee uses this statute and files her lawsuit right there in California.
And then we see this clash between state law and what International Life saw as fair. The California court sided with McGee, but Texas was not happy about it. They refused to enforce the California judgment, saying that California had gone too far with its jurisdiction. This back and forth between states ended up taking the case all the way to the Supreme Court, and the decision would have implications for businesses and consumers all over the country.
So the stage is set. We have this classic David versus Goliath story. McGee, this grieving beneficiary in California, going up against a huge Texas insurance company. And the Supreme Court has to answer this crucial question. Did California overstep its boundaries by exercising jurisdiction over a company with no physical presence in the state? Did this violate the insurer's right to due process under the 14th Amendment?
The court looked back to the minimum contacts test from International Shoe, and they really dug into this idea of fair play and substantial justice. It's fascinating how the court considered the interests of the state, the individual, and the company to reach their decision.
Let's break down Justice Black's majority opinion, because it really sets the stage for so much of what we see in business law even today.
Absolutely. The court made some really key points. First, they focused on the contract itself. It was delivered in California. The premiums were mailed from California. And most importantly, Lowell Franklin, the insured person, lived in California. These weren't just random connections, they were substantial ties to the state.
And it wasn't just about the contract right. They also emphasized that California has a real interest in protecting its own residents, especially from potential wrongdoing by out-of-state companies. The court was basically acknowledging that California has a responsibility to look out for its people, particularly in cases like this.
Exactly. They recognized California's interest in making sure its residents weren't vulnerable. To potentially unfair practices by companies operating outside their borders.
So it really became about the impact of their actions on California and its residents.
Yeah, and we can't forget about how business was changing back then. Like by the 50s, commerce was happening all over the place. Companies were taking advantage of this national market. The court definitely considered this. They knew that modern businesses were using tools like the mail and telephone to do business nationally, which also meant that it was easier for them to defend themselves in lawsuits in different states.
Yeah, that makes sense. It wasn't like they were being dragged into a California courtroom. They were already doing business with the state. It seems like the court was trying to find a good balance. They didn't want to let states sue any company for no reason, but they also recognized that they needed a more modern approach to jurisdiction.
Right. It wasn't just a win for California. They made it very clear when it's fair and reasonable for a state to have jurisdiction over an out-of-state company. And it all came down to due process, meaning the company had to have enough minimum contacts with the state, and they had to be properly notified of the lawsuit so they would have a fair chance to defend themselves.
So in McGee's case, International Life had those minimum contacts because of the insurance contract, the premiums paid from California, and the fact that the insured person lived in California. And they were properly notified about the lawsuit. So the court said it was fair for California to have jurisdiction, even though the company wasn't physically in the state.
Exactly. And that's why McGee is such a landmark case. It changed the way we think about jurisdiction. It moved away from just focusing on physical presence and looked more at economic activity and relationships in the modern business world.
It's like the legal system was finally catching up to how business was really being done. Companies couldn't just hide behind state lines while doing business across the country.
Yeah, and this decision had a huge impact on those long-arm statutes. Think of it like McGee gave those legal arms a big boost. It empowered states to hold companies accountable for what they do within their borders, even without a physical office.
That's a great way to put it. And it was a big win for consumer protection. People like Lulu B. McGee didn't have to go on these crazy expensive trips to other states just to get justice. They could fight for their rights in their own home state.
For sure. McGee made it more fair for individuals going up against big companies in different states. It's amazing how one case about a life insurance policy in California could change things for the whole country. It really shifted the way we think about jurisdiction and consumer rights.
It's crazy how one person's fight for justice can have such a big impact. And this isn't just some old legal story. McGee is still important today, especially with technology blurring those lines between states. It really set the stage for how we think about jurisdiction in our digital world.
Totally. Think about it. It's because of this case that you can sue a company like Amazon in your own state, even though their headquarters might be somewhere completely different.
It's like they saw the future of commerce.
Yeah. And that's what makes these landmark cases so interesting. They deal with these basic principles that are still relevant even as the world changes around them.
So what's the main takeaway for our listeners? Why is McGee more than just some old legal case?
I think the big thing is even just one contract or one interaction can be enough to establish jurisdiction if it creates a real connection with a state. It's not just about physical buildings anymore. It's about where the business is actually happening, where the relationships are, where the impact is. McGee really drives that point home.
It's like a reminder that your actions have consequences. You can't just avoid responsibility by operating from far away.
Yeah, and this principle is even more important now. With so much business being done online, companies can have a global reach without ever setting foot in a specific state.
It makes you think about how McGee will influence legal battles in the future, especially with things like online marketplaces and virtual contracts. I feel like we're still figuring out what minimum contacts really means in the digital age.
Absolutely. That's what keeps this area of law so interesting. It's always changing as we figure out new technologies and business models. But McGee gives us a solid starting point, a way to analyze jurisdiction that's fair and holds people accountable.
It's like McGee started something, and the effects are still being felt. So besides those online marketplaces, what are some specific ways McGee has impacted other industries?
That's a great question. Look at healthcare, for example. Telemedicine has become huge in recent years. Doctors are consulting with and even treating patients all over the country. McGee comes into play when a patient wants to sue a doctor for malpractice. Can they sue where the doctor is physically located or where the patient received the virtual care? These are tough questions. But McGee's focus on a minimum contacts and fair play gives us a way to figure out these jurisdictional issues.
That's a perfect example. It shows how McGee isn't just about buying stuff online. It affects so many parts of our lives. especially as technology breaks down those traditional geographical barriers.
Right. And it's not just about where you can sue. McGee also impacts things like regulation and taxation. States have more power now to regulate and tax businesses that have a big online presence within their borders. Even if those businesses don't have a physical office in the state, this has been huge for states to make money and protect their citizens in the digital age.
It's amazing how this case from 1957 is still so important for business and law today.
And it shows that the law isn't stuck in the past. It's a system that changes and adapts to meet new challenges. McGee is a perfect example of how the court can take a legal idea, rethink it for new situations, and create a precedent that shapes the future.
So as technology continues to make those geographic boundaries less important, and business is happening more and more online, what are some challenges you see with applying McGee to future legal battles about jurisdiction in the digital world?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's something that a lot of legal experts are thinking about. One of the hardest things is figuring out, like, what exactly are minimum contacts in the digital world? Like, if a company has a website that anyone can access from any state, does that mean they can be sued in every single state? Or do we have to look at, like, more specific things, like online purchases, user agreements, how they collect data?
Yeah, it's tricky, and there's no easy answer. Courts are still trying to figure this out, and we're seeing different approaches in different places. Some courts are saying that minimum contacts are broader in the digital world, but others are being more careful. They say there needs to be a clear and intentional connection between what the company does online and the state where the lawsuit is filed.
So there's no, like, one rule for every case. It depends on the specifics. Exactly. That's what makes this area of law so interesting and challenging. We have to think about things like, how much is the company doing online? Are they intentionally interacting with the state where the lawsuit is? Where is the person suing located? And would it be a burden for the company to defend a lawsuit in that particular state?
So it sounds like McGee gives us a good starting point, but there's still a lot to figure out about how it applies to today's digital world.
Totally. And that's where legal scholars and advocates come in. We need to think hard about how to make sure things are fair and people are held accountable. Especially in a world where so much business happens online, we need laws that protect consumers, but don't stop innovation and economic growth.
Yeah, it's about finding the right balance. It'll be interesting to see how these things develop over time.
For sure. McGee versus International Life Insurance might have been decided back in 1957, but it's still shaping the legal world today. It reminds us that the law has to keep up with the changing world, and that fairness and justice are always important, even with all these technological advancements.
Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about. This case really shows how something that seems simple, like a dispute over a life insurance policy, can actually have huge consequences.
Yep.
It's changed the way we think about jurisdiction in a world that's constantly evolving.
Absolutely. And it shows why it's so important to understand these legal ideas, not just for lawyers, but for anyone doing business or trying to navigate this digital age. As technology breaks down geographical boundaries, the question of where you can be sued and who can hold you accountable becomes more and more important.
Yeah, it makes you realize that law isn't just something you read in textbooks or hear in courtrooms. It's part of our everyday lives. It shapes how individuals, businesses, and even the world itself interacts.
Exactly. And cases like McGee show us that the law isn't just a bunch of rules. It's a dynamic force that's constantly changing to meet the challenges of society.
So as we move further into this digital age, let's remember the lessons of McGee versus International Life Insurance Company. Fairness and accountability matter no matter where you are, and the idea of jurisdiction is going to continue to shape legal battles for years to come.
It's definitely a fascinating time for law, and I'm excited to see how things change and adapt as we explore the digital world.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into McGee versus International Life Insurance Company. We hope you have a better understanding of this landmark case and how jurisdiction is changing in our interconnected world. Until next time, keep those legal minds engaged.